Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, we are starting in Genesis chapter 29 at verse 31, and we'll be going all the way through chapter 30, God willing. This is God's word, beginning in Genesis 29, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am! The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. He added, name your wages, and I will pay them. Jacob said to him, you know how I've worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you? He asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages. And my honesty will testify for me in the future whenever you check on the wages you have paid me. Any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen. Agreed, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and menservants and camels and donkeys. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
What's happening here? Well, they're having children. Yeah, but he's picking up extra wives, too, along the way. Remember, he loved Rachel. Leah, not so much. He married her by accident. He married her because his father-in-law did a bait and switch. He married her because when he was supposed to be given Rachel, He was instead given Leah, and it was nighttime, and it was dark, and it had been a long party, and he didn't know. But when he woke up the next morning, he was married to Leah. What's a guy to do? We're already married, and I'm still in love with that one. And the daddy says, well, you can have her too. Just wait till next week, and then work for me another 7 years. So he is now in a marriage to two women, one of whom he loves, and one that he doesn't love, but he's married to her. That's not a good situation. But God sees the situation, and seeing that Leah is not loved, God allows her to have children. And seeing that Rachel is loved, God makes it so that she can't have children. Not because loving her is a bad thing, but because God has chosen in his sovereign plan to bless Leah and to withhold children from the one who is already loved by her husband. And you ought to feel some sense of sympathy and sadness for Leah as each time she has a child, she thinks, now my husband will love me. And he doesn't. He still has relations with her, but he doesn't love her. She has another child. She says, now he'll love me. Not happening. That's sad. That's really sad. It's sad that he's married to two women instead of one, but to fail to love Leah, that's sad. I don't see him in this passage as a strong head of household. He doesn't come across as a godly man who's seeking the Lord and wanting to do whatever the Lord says is right. He does whatever comes naturally. When one of his wives is not able to have children, she comes up with a plan. Same plan that grandma had. And that is, you can have children through my servant and they'll be mine. Okay? I will adopt them legally. They'll be my children. So here, take my servant. That's what Rachel says. Take my servant, and she can give birth, but it'll be my child. And the plan works. Jacob's like, okay. Same response as Abraham. Remember how well that worked out? Do you remember that it caused all kinds of problems? That initially it seemed like a good plan because it is possible to get pregnant that way, but then after the fact it turns out, no, this is a source of strife and discord within the family. Go figure. So Rachel says, here's my servant. The plan seems to work, and she's praising the Lord that her plan has worked and that she has won a victory over her sister. Because she is the primary wife, the loved wife. She just wasn't able to have children. Now she's got children by this surrogate. And those children can become the principal heirs. They are eligible to do that in that culture. This plan looks like it's working for a while, but Leah has stopped having children. And so Leah's thinking, I'm going to do what my sister did. I'm going to have more children through my servant. And so her servant is presented, and Jacob says, okay. What's going on with these people? Why are they not seeking the Lord? God's not absent from this picture. They are clearly praying to God in the midst of their unhappiness. They are looking to God, but they're not just looking to God. Because it's like, okay, I'm going to ask God to do this for me, but if he doesn't, I've got a plan B. If God doesn't come through, I've got another way I can get my will done. Because what matters is not thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What matters is my kingdom come, my will be done. God, would you please carry out my plan? If you won't carry out my plan, I'm going to carry out my plan myself. I'm going to find a way to make this happen. I am determined to get what I want. Everybody in this story, we see clearly in this passage that regardless of the plotting and the efforts on the part of people, God is the one who opened and closed wombs. God's the one who's in charge. He is able to handle that. So, in the midst of this, we see these various events. Do mandrakes really work? No. No, they don't. But these folks thought they did. And so they tried to use mandrakes in order to increase the likelihood of their having children. Verse 18. Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband. Do you think that's really what happened? That's what she thought happened. She thought God is blessing me because of this that I did. She was wrong, and God blessed her anyway. Do you understand that? It wasn't that she left God out of the picture. She just totally misunderstood why God was doing what he was doing. Let me tell you something. The reason that God saves us is not because of anything we do. I'm not going to heaven because I was kind to someone. I'm not going to heaven because I tithe. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died on a cross long before I was born in order to pay for my sin and make me his own. And when I was dead in trespasses and sins, he made me alive. God made me alive, raised me, and made me his child. That's why we don't always understand what God's up to. But God's still up to something. And you and I need to recognize that God blesses and accomplishes his plan even when we don't understand what's going on. That's what's happening here, and it's what's about to happen in the next section of verses that we read. Jacob says, I'm ready to leave. I want to go back home. He tells his uncle Laban, his father-in-law, I want to go back home. Give me my wives and children. I'm taking them with me. Laban says, here's another interesting one. He says, I don't want you to go because I have learned by divination that God is blessing me because of you. What's divination? Fortune telling. Is that all right? No, it's not all right. God hates divination. It's an abomination to him. It's a terrible, despicable, sinful thing. But guess what? Uncle Laban was correct. The reason God was blessing him was because of Jacob. I don't understand that. How could a person possibly do something bad and come up with the right answer? Happens all the time. It's kind of like using mandrakes to try and have kids. Okay? What kind of guy was Laban? He was a crook, like Jacob. I mean, these are not good people. That's what I want you to understand. It's, you know, where are the good guys? There aren't any. God is the only one who is good. So when this conversation happens between Jacob and Laban, Laban says, I want you to stay. Please just name your wages. What can I give you? Jacob says, don't give me anything. Because if you give it to me, you're going to feel like it's still yours. Let me earn something that will be mine and my heirs. Okay, well, tell me what you want. And so he proposes something very interesting. He says, I will take the less desirable animals out of the flock, and they'll be the ones that are spotted and speckled and, you know, they don't have those pretty coats with the good wool. And I'll take those. That'll make it easy. And I'll go through and do it today. And Laban agrees to it. But then he tries to cheat him. Agreed, said Laban, let it be as you have said. That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted and all the speckled or spotted female goats, and he placed them in the care of his sons, and then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob. What has he just done? He has just robbed Jacob again. He says, okay, all right, you can have all those. Son, go round them up. Go get them. And so he takes all the ones that were supposed to be Jacob's and puts them 3 days away. And what does Jacob do? Jacob has a plan. Jacob comes up with a selective breeding program in which he's going to take poles and create a visual effect that will cause the females to be looking at something spotted and so forth as they're breeding. And as a result, he believes their young will have that kind of wool. I can tell you for sure that doesn't work. That's not the way genetics function. Okay? That's a mistaken idea. And God saw that Jacob was being robbed by Uncle Laban. And he says, listen, I can take care of the genetics. And not only did Jacob end up with some sheep and goats again, he ended up with the best of the sheep and the goats. Now, he was deliberately trying to breed the best for himself and let his father-in-law slash uncle get the ones that were not as healthy and strong and so forth. But what you've got is two crooks trying to outdo each other using primitive means because they don't really understand genetics. And God, who rules the universe and yet knows how many hairs are on top of your head right now, saying, I'm going to take care of my servant. Well, what makes Jacob his servant? God. God makes him his servant. It's not because Laban is bad, Jacob is good. No, Laban is bad, Jacob is bad. God says, this is the one I'm going to use. I don't think that's fair. That just doesn't seem American to me. Well, guess what? God is the eternal ruler of the universe he created. And he chose Jacob and identifies with Jacob. God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God chose Abraham. And for his sake, he blessed Isaac and Jacob. Many of the good things you and I are enjoying in our life right now are because of God's blessing on somebody else. We're getting the residual. We better appreciate the fact that we are not just entitled to all of this because we've been good. We are blessed oftentimes because of those who've gone before us. And much of what we enjoy is the result of God's kindness because of something we didn't even do. It's not because of the mandrakes. It's not because she let her servant sleep with her husband. God blessed, but God blessed in spite of sin, not because of it. We'll see this pattern throughout the scriptures, and you and I need to realize that it is God who is good, and that it is God alone who can save, and we need to look to him for his mercy and his grace, his salvation in Christ Jesus. Because what's happening here, they don't understand what's going on. But God knows exactly what he's up to, and it's good.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE.
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.